From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, we begin with news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. First, the headlines. Government encourages emergence of AI-based digital talent in Indonesia. Elderly Indonesians to join second phase vaccination program. Now the news in detail. The Education and Culture Ministry has encouraged the emergence of artificial intelligence or AI-based digital talent in Indonesia. As reported by Antara News Agency, the Ministry's Director General of Higher Education, Nizam, during the virtual opening of the Bangkit 2021 program on Monday explained, now Indonesia can see the emergence of unicorns and decacorns in Southeast Asia. Out of the 10 unicorns and decacorns in Southeast Asia, 5 were established and grew in Indonesia. The government needs to encourage the emergence of more digital startups that are based on technology and creative innovation. Nizam affirmed that creativity and innovation based on technological competencies, especially in digital technology and AI, will create digital startups that can transform into unicorns or also decacorns. Some elderly Indonesians aged 60 years and above will get inoculated in the second phase of the vaccination program, starting in mid-February of 2021. As reported by Antara News Agency, Acting Director General of Disease Prevention and Control, or P2P, of the Ministry of Health, Dr. Maxi Rain Rondonuwu, during an online discussion on Monday stated, this group of older people should be prioritized since they are susceptible to contracting the virus. Apart from the 21 million elderly, the government will also vaccinate 17 million officers or workers in the public service sector. Up until now, some 1,080,000 health workers have received vaccinations. He pointed out that Indonesia can see that until now, almost no serious side effects or incidents were reported following the implementation of the immunization program. The government has decided that the second phase of vaccination will commence on February 17, 2021, with the first target being traders in the Tanah Abang market in Jakarta. Indonesia's trade balance posted a surplus of $1.96 billion in January 2021, with exports valued at about $15 billion and import activities reaching about $13 billion. It was said by head of the Central Statistics Agency, Suharyanto, during a virtual press conference held from Jakarta on Monday, as reported by Antara News Agency. He also said this position is much better as compared to the trade balance recorded in January 2020, when a trade deficit of $640 million was recorded, or as compared to January 2019, when a deficit of $980 million was posted. Therefore, Suharyanto concluded that the trade performance in January 2021 showed positive progress, since the number of export activities went up 12.24% as compared to the corresponding period in the previous year. At the start of this year, exports in the agriculture sector increased by 13.91% and exports in the industry sector rose by 11.72%, while mining exports went up 16.92%. The country's foreign debt at the 2024 quarter or Q4 end reached about $400 billion, comprising government and central bank debt of around $200 billion and private sector debt, including state enterprises or SOEs or BUMN, reaching about $200 billion. Bank Indonesia noted in a written statement on Monday that Indonesia's external debt at the end of the fourth quarter of 2020 grew by 3.5% year-on-year, down from the previous quarter's growth of 3.9%. According to Indonesia's Central Bank, Indonesia's external debt growth slowed primarily owing to the slowdown in private external debt growth. In the Q4 of 2020, the government's external debt was recorded at about $200 billion, or grew 3.3% on an annual basis or year-on-year, higher than 1.6% year-on-year during the third quarter of 2020. The government's external debt was managed in a careful, credible, and accountable manner to support priority spending, which included in health services and social activities, constituting 23.9% of the government's total external debt. Now we move to the international news. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, in a statement, spoke to French President Emmanuel Macron on Monday, expressing her commitment to strengthening bilateral ties between the two countries. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, President Joe Biden, a former vice president himself under Barack Obama, has had Harris at his side for multiple events during his early White House tenure, indicating he wants her to have a key role in implementing his political and policy agenda. The call with Macron, leader of G20, a G7 nation, shows Harris is taking a role in foreign policy as well, an area in which the former U.S. Senator from California has significantly less experience than Biden. The Vice President's office in a statement stated Vice President Harris and President Macron agreed on the need for close bilateral and multilateral cooperation to address COVID-19, climate change, and support democracy at home and around the world. Access to the internet appears to have been blocked for a second night running by Myanmar's new military rulers. UK-based monitor NetBlocks reported a near-total internet shutdown from 1 local time or 18:30 GMT on Tuesday. As quoted by BBC.com Tuesday, it is the fourth shutdown since the February 1st coup as the junta tries to stifle dissent, much of it online. Earlier, the military authorities announced stiff penalties for those opposing the coup leaders. Signs that another outage was imminent came after an internet service provider told BBC Burmese that online access was being blocked. The latest shutdown follows a pattern aimed at disrupting continuing opposition to the coup, which overthrew elected leaders, including longtime democracy campaigner Aung San Suu Kyi, who is still in custody. Access to Facebook, a rallying point for a campaign of civil disobedience, was restricted soon after the coup. Use of Twitter and Instagram was also disrupted. The World Trade Organization's incoming chief on Monday warned against vaccine nationalism that would slow progress in ending the COVID-19 pandemic and could erode economic growth for all countries, rich and poor. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala told Reuters her top priority was to ensure the WTO does more to address the pandemic, saying members should accelerate efforts to lift export restrictions, slowing trade in needed medicines and supplies. The former Nigerian finance minister and senior World Bank executive was appointed on Monday in a consensus process and starts her new job on March 1. Okonjo-Iweala, in an interview at her home in a suburb of Washington, stated, "The WTO can contribute so much more to helping stop the pandemic." She also said, "No one is safe until everyone is safe. Vaccine nationalism at this time just will not pay, because the variants are coming. If other countries are not immunized, it will just be a blowback." Well, listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government will carry out vaccination for public workers and the elderly on February 17, 2021. This is the second phase of the vaccination program. The first phase of the vaccination was carried out on January 13, 2021, when President Joko Widodo was the first person to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. The Indonesian government targets the COVID-19 vaccination towards 181.5 million Indonesians in a bid to create communal immunity. To make the implementation of COVID-19 vaccination successful, President Joko Widodo asked for the ranks of Indonesian Armed Forces TNI and the National Police Polri to support the government's efforts in implementing the COVID-19 vaccination, which is carried out en masse. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo when giving direction to the participants of the TNI Polri leadership meeting at the State Palace in Jakarta, escorted from the Presidential Secretariat YouTube broadcast Monday night. On that occasion, he affirmed that apart from being carried out at public health centers, puskesmas, and hospitals, the vaccination would also be carried out en masse in certain clusters, such as markets, economic service clusters,
or areas categorized as the red zone. Thereby, the main role of the Tenii and Polri is urgently needed by involving the ranks of the village guidance officers or Babinsa at the village or sub-district level belonging to Tenii and the Bayangkara ranks of community, security and order development, Babin Kamtipmas, owned by the Polri. In introspect, since the beginning, Tenii Polri have been involved in handling COVID-19. Starting from picking up Indonesian citizens from Wuhan, China, until enforcing discipline in carrying out health protocols by implementing so-called 3Ms, namely washing hands, wearing masks, and keeping distance, and doing 3Ts, testing, tracing, and treatment. For the vaccination process, the Tenii and Polri can play a significant role, especially in overseeing the distribution of vaccine until they arrive at the designated location. Both institutions also play a major role in the counter-narrative of the COVID-19 vaccine. It cannot be denied recently, there have been many hoaxes against the vaccination program. The Tenii and Polri take roles to socialize the importance of the COVID-19 vaccine. They also educate the public through strategic communication. President Joko Widodo's great hope for the Tenii and Polri to provide support in the implementation of vaccination, of course, will be a mere hope. If there are no willingness, awareness, and great desire of the Indonesian people to make the implementation of the vaccination program successful. However, all relevant stakeholders and general public must also be aware of and may participate in playing a major role to break the chain of transmission of COVID-19. With the support of the Tenii Polri and the general public, the vaccination program can be successful and the set targets can be achieved. That was commentary. I'll begin today in history with February 16, 1946, the first veto power in the UN Security Council exercise. The Soviet Union first used veto power in the UN Security Council on February 16, 1946, to oppose proposals for the withdrawal of foreign troops from Syria and Lebanon. The UN Security Council veto power belongs to 5 countries, namely America, Russia, previously the Soviet Union, Britain, France, and China. Veto rights were given to these 5 countries because they were considered the winners of the Second World War. Veto rights are often used based on the interests of each veto-holding country. Let's move on to February 16, 1998, when China Airlines Flight 676 plane crashed. China Airlines Flight 676 crashed in a residential area near Chiang Kai-shek International Airport in Taoyuan County, Taiwan, on Monday evening, February 16, 1998. The Airbus A300-622R jet was flying from Ngurah Rai International Airport in Bali, Indonesia, to Taipei, Taiwan. The weather was dominated by rain and fog as the plane approached the runway at Chiang Kai-shek International Airport. All 196 passengers and crew on board were killed, including the president of Taiwan's Central Bank, along with 7 people on the ground. I learned today in history with February 16, 2005, when the Kyoto Protocol enters into force. The Kyoto Protocol is an amendment to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, an international agreement on global warming. Countries that ratify this protocol commit to reducing emission of carbon dioxide and 5 other greenhouse gases. If implemented successfully, the Kyoto Protocol is predicted to reduce global average weather between 0.02 degrees Celsius and 0.28 degrees Celsius by 2050. That was Today in History.
Saat indah dalam hidupku, saat aku bertemu denganmu, kau anugerah yang tercipta begitu nyata. Tercantik dalam hatiku, walaupun orang tak berkata begitu. Ku ingin kau di sampingku selamanya. Kau tercantik dalam hatiku, walaupun orang tak berkata begitu. Ku ingin kau di sampingku selamanya. Kepadamu karena dirimu yang selama ini ku cari dan bila kau menerima cintaku aku akan selalu jujur. Karena dirimu yang selama ini
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, held an official meeting with Deputy Prime Minister or Minister of Foreign Affairs of Qatar, Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani, in Doha, Qatar, last Thursday. As quoted on the kamlu.co.id, both of them have agreed to keep strengthening bilateral cooperation, especially in the economic sector. The bilateral cooperation, which is currently being focused on, is in the investment of telecommunication, tourism, and electricity. Minister Ratna Marsudi said that Indonesia must continue to oversee the economic cooperation of both countries to accelerate the post-pandemic economic recovery process. The trade trend between Indonesia and Qatar over the last 5 years, from 2015 to 2019, has continued to increase by around 11.53%. Qatar's investment in Indonesia in the last 3 years has focused on tourism and energy. In 2020, Qatar's investment realization in Indonesia reached $6.2 million, an increase of more than 30 times compared to the investment value in 2018. In addition, both ministers exchanged ideas on several regional issues, especially the peace process in Afghanistan. They also agreed on the importance of international support to maintain the momentum of the peace process. They have also agreed that the peace process is expected to proceed more quickly. Thereby, high commitment from all parties is required. Qatar appreciates Indonesia's role, which gives main attention to the role of women in Afghanistan. Minister Ratna also explained that the role of women must continue to be prioritized, both in the peace process and in the development of post-conflict Afghanistan. Moreover, both Minister Ratna Marsudi and Minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman Al Thani also discussed the issue of Palestine, especially the result of the meeting of the Arab League foreign ministers on Palestine held in Cairo, Egypt, last Monday. Minister Ratna emphasized that the result of the meeting are expected to create new opportunities for the Palestinian struggle based on a two-state solution. According to Minister Ratna, this positive trend in 2021 should become a strong foundation to promote the Palestinian-Israeli peace process. Both of them also exchanged ideas about the Myanmar situation. They agreed that the safety, security, and welfare of the Myanmar people must be a priority. In addition, the democratic transition must continue in Myanmar. Minister Ratna Marsudi also affirmed that the dimension of the relationship between Indonesia and Qatar are related not only to the interests of both countries, but also the interests of the wider community. That was My Indonesia.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wa chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai o防ぎましょう. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
وقو انتقال فيروس كوفيد-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح. قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。 我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Like it's all that no one hears.
Tak ada yang peduli.
All I
do, all I wanna do is say I love you.
Suara hatiku, suara batinku meyakinkanku.
Words don't work, feeling like they have no worth.
Dirimu takkan pernah tahu bagaimana aku bisa. Rasaku terlalu buat ku tak mampu.
Say it with a heartbeat. Say it with a. It's like a stage without a crowd.
Rasa yang ku punya, oh, suara hatiku, suara batinku saling menyatu.
All I wanna do, all I wanna do is say I care.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Hello listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to introduce you to Yospan Dance from Papua. Yospan Dance is a type of contemporary dance that depicts the association or friendship of Biak Num for youth. Yospan is a combination of two Papuan folk dances, namely Yosim and Pancar. Yosim dance originates from the bay area of Sairei or Serul Waropen. The movement of this dance is similar to a dance from Europe, but in Yosim dance, it puts forward freedom in expressing movements and relies on the agility of dance movements. Meanwhile, Pancar is a dance that developed in Biak Numfor and Manokwari in the early 1960s, during the Dutch colonial era in Papua. Historically, this dance imitates the acrobatic movements of airplanes that at that time often crossed the sky of Papua. Therefore, this dance was originally called Pancargas and was shortened to Pancar. Yosim Pancar dance has basic movements that are dynamic, attractive, and full of enthusiasm. Some of the most popular types of movements are Pancargas, Gale Gale, Jeff, Pacul Tiga, Seka, and others. These dance movements are also not difficult to learn. It makes the Yospan dance develop rapidly not only in Papua, but also in other islands in the archipelago. Yospan dance is usually performed at traditional Papuan events and in the commemoration of National Day events. In fact, because of its popularity, the Yospan dance is often performed in every event, welcoming activity, and cultural arts festival. Yospan is also often shown in foreign countries to meet invitations or attend festivals abroad. Yosim Pancar dance has two groups of players, namely musicians and dancers. The number of dancers is more than 6 people or unlimited, so that the dance is known as social dance. The dance movement is usually accompanied by a musical instrument, tifa, a type of gendang traditional drum made of monitor lizard skin. During its development, Yospan is not only accompanied by tifa musical instrument, but also by guitar, ukulele, and acoustic bass or stem bass. The combination of all these musical instruments produces dynamic music. The clothes worn by the dancers clearly characterize Papuan culture, with accessories such as necklaces made of animal bones. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder over Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku ochaku yoshite, COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegi masho. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wakau intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bishaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum, wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让整确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Ooh.
Dulu kau selalu bilang ku tak pernah mengerti, dan dahulu kau juga bilang selalu ingin berubah. Namun ku rasakan kini semua telah percuma.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Today's topic is, aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada mall. Or in English, I prefer to go to the beach than to the mall. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada mall, or I prefer to go to the beach than the mall. It is between Kevin and his colleague Mela. Let's listen to their conversation.
Apakah kamu ingin pergi ke mall besok?
Tidak, aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada ke mall.
After listening to the conversation, I will provide phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely, aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada mall. Aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada mall, which means, I prefer to go to the beach than the mall. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Suka, suka, which means like. Lebih, daripada, which means more than. Aku lebih suka, which means I prefer. Aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai. Aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai, which means I prefer to go to the beach. Aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada mall. Aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada mall, which means I'd rather go to the beach than the mall. Kamu lebih suka kopi atau teh? Kamu lebih suka kopi atau teh? Which means you prefer coffee or tea. Kopi. Kopi, which means coffee. Teh. Teh, which means tea. In the conversation, you heard, aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada mall. Aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada ke mall, which means I'd rather go to the beach than to the mall. The uterine states of comparative comparison. In Indonesian, a comparative comparison is indicated by the conjunctive pair. Lebih daripada, which means more. Then, its function is to compare two objects. To state that you like something more after the word lebih. Lebih, which means more. Put the word suka. Suka, which means like. Example. Aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada mall. Aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada ke mall. Which means I would rather go to the beach than to the mall. Aku lebih suka pantai daripada mall. Aku lebih suka pantai daripada mall. Which means I prefer the beach to the mall. Aku kurang suka pergi ke mall. Aku kurang suka pergi ke mall. Which means I don't really like going to the mall. Other examples of the use of comparative comparisons are as follows. Kamu lebih suka kopi atau teh? Kamu lebih suka kopi atau teh? Which means, do you prefer coffee or tea? Aku lebih suka teh daripada kopi. Aku lebih suka teh daripada kopi. Which means, I prefer tea over coffee. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the conversation one more time.
Apakah kamu ingin pergi ke mall besok?
Tidak, aku lebih suka pergi ke pantai daripada ke mall.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who wants to know more about Bahasa Indonesia, for the Indonesian language. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you very much for listening. I'll see you again next week.
Tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's music corner, this is Rahma. I'm going to present a Malay song entitled Hilang Tak Berkesan by Alvin Habib featuring Dang Merdu. Created by M. Mashhabi, this song tells the story of a beautiful girl with a spoiled style and loose curly hair. It is said in the lyrics of the song, the girl always comes to flirt in a dream. But unfortunately, it's only at a glance. She immediately disappears. With moderate tempo music, this song invites anyone who hears it to dance too. The song Hilang Tak Berkesan has been sung by many singers with various music genres, such as dangdut or pop. Well, listener, here is the song Hilang Tak Berkesan by Alvin Habib featuring Dang Merdu. Enjoy!
Siapakah gerangan dianya
yang selalu datang menggoda. Dalam mimpi ia datang menjelma, tapi hanya selayang pandang. Ia pun segera menghilang. Sungguh cantik manis, hatiku tertawan. Wajahnya ayu rupawan, sayang bagai bulan di
listener. Thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.